Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for the Warriors Roundtable.
It's good!
Our Warriors insiders, Mark Spears and Mark Medina, join Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky. And it starts now on 95.7, The Game.
Iguodala on the 880 sideline, the near sideline, right at the hash mark, looking for Curry, waiting, cross court, heave to Draymond. Draymond saves it to Curry for a three. It's no good. Cousins looks for the rebound, tipped away by Leonard. He's got stolen by Andre, and a foul. No, a timeout. Warriors don't have a timeout.
That's
a technical foul, and ball to Toronto, and this game is over.
Outside of some free throws, that is the final play in the history of Oracle Arena. Obviously, had that shot from Steph Curry gone in, we'd be talking about the results of a Game 7 in the NBA Finals. We did not reach Game 7. Game 6 is where it ended for the Warriors. How much ended? We don't even know yet, with the injuries to Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson being the headliners. What this all looks like next, we got the right group of people to talk about it with. Welcome to the Damon Bruce Show, and welcome to a little Warriors Roundtable with Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky. We're very happy to welcome in a couple of Marks who know this league very well. Mark Spears from The Undefeated, Mark Medina from The Merc. It is good to have both you guys in. Thank you very much.
Spending
your Monday with us.
Where I come from, if you call somebody a bunch of marks.
I know, it sounds bad.
I was going to say that.
I know. That's why I said it. It was a little play on words.
Oh, okay.
No, it was a little play on words.
He was relying on you being too lazy to get out of your chair. Otherwise,
you were going to come over and beat me?
Jeez. It's because it's the first time I've ever seen you stand up. Same height.
Oh, you're going to turn on me? He calls you a mark, and I'm the guy you want to badmouth.
I'm about to witness a nice fight here.
It won't be. No,
it's not going to be a nice fight.
Nah, I won't. Yeah. That's my guy. I would never fight him.
It is really good to see both of you guys. Thank you so much for coming on. And before we get right to the business of where this all goes from here, let's just do a little bit of an autopsy on what went wrong in Game 6. Obviously, beyond the Klay Thompson injury, the missed free throws. It's amazing how close they were to Game 7, knowing what happened. They were still an eyelash away from looking at one more game, which is amazing. And I think, you know, Klay Thompson walking back out for those free throws goes down as an iconic moment in Bay Area sports.
It's sad that he got hurt like that, man. I was thinking today, like, did anybody really get a chance to talk to Danny Green about it?
Not that I've seen.
Yeah. He's actually going to be in New York on Wednesday for Steve Nash's foundation, a soccer game. And I know Danny, he's a good guy. I'm sure he didn't mean anything the same way Vince Carter didn't mean anything when he pushed McCall last year.
But Carter's play was dirtier, I thought.
I don't know that either were dirty.
Yeah.
I just think that the difference is somebody going back. Like, to me, I actually thought that the one in the finals was worse because that's somebody on a fast break. Like, that's just something that you just, when somebody's about to dunk, they're flying. He was moving like, usually you try to hang on the rim. I've seen guys hang on the rim, fly too hard trying to, you know, swing
like flip
and
off,
land
like
on their back. Like, it's that's a dangerous area. And I think that's something, especially on the NBA level, you got to be careful about as far as touching anybody when they're moving 100 miles per hour. So I know Danny didn't do it on purpose, but just that little love tap, like, caused a lot of damage, you know, on and off the court.
Mark, I've said that you're tantamount to like a Klay Thompson biographer. You've got a very good relationship with him. I know you talked to Michael Thompson. Have you had any chance to talk with Klay yet? Has he talked to anyone? If I were him, I'd be far away from the phone right now.
Yeah, I mean, I've certainly tried, but I don't think he's been talking to anyone right now. The fascinating thing is, even with this debilitating injury and the obvious loss, he seemed to be in good spirits from what his dad said, that as soon as he started processing, okay, you have this injury, what does it take? He seemed pretty encouraged with the fact that this is something that you can come back from. It's a serious injury, but once it's fully healed, he can kind of come back to normal. And then the other thing that really resonated with him, and I know Ramona Shelburne was the first to report this, but you know, I followed up with Michael about it. Kevin Durant FaceTimed him when he was in the locker room getting iced, and Michael wasn't going to divulge everything about, or really anything, what was discussed. But I can't help but wonder if you connect the dots of what that means. I mean, they're talking about their respective injuries and the fact that they're going to come out a lot stronger. Michael was on record saying he thinks Kevin's coming back. And I'm wondering, was there any kind of understood implication with what that means?
Everybody needs a rehab, buddy.
If there was anything to set up this entire locker room for, like, you know what, let's do it again, I think it's the circumstances that have transpired.
I think it can work the other way around, though, too.
Yeah. How does Kevin feel? I'm curious to know.
Well, how does he feel about the medical staff?
I don't mean to jump on you there, Ray, because I think we're on the same accord. How does he feel? Is he mad at anybody? Is he pointing fingers at anybody?
Have you heard? We're more connected to the NBA than any of us, Mark. Yeah. Have you heard any element of a grudge of malpractice from Team Durant against the Warriors, the decision, how it played out, the recovery, anything going back to the calf injury?
His mom's interview with ABC was interesting. You know, I got to go through that a little closer.
That's just a mom.
But what do you make of Jay Williams?
I try to, you know, talk to his dad, who I have a good relationship with, but he's quiet right now. Everybody's kind of quiet, you know, understandably so.
Jay Williams, the host of his ESPN show.
Yeah.
What do you make of that? Because he came out and basically said this was malpractice. The Warriors messed up. And you got to, like, he definitely has a good relationship with him, right?
Well, two things. One, you know, Jay had a debilitating injury, too, that ended his career early. Self-imposed. So perhaps he's a little sensitive to injuries and whatnot. But he's in that, like, I think I'm looking in the circle. I'm close enough to look in the circle. Jay's in the circle.
Yeah,
he does the shows with Durant and Rich. And so if he's saying that, that's why I'm like, I don't know how Kevin feels. And maybe that's as close as of a look into how he feels that we could find right now.
Yeah, and the thing, I mean, even before Kevin's injury, this whole idea of what his future is going to be was always complex because Kevin is a very complex and fascinating guy. But I'm always wondering how much will that be a negative deterrent, obviously, but how do you weigh that against the potential positives of he was in such a vulnerable stage with that injury and everyone was supporting him and rallying around him during such a critical time. Like, to what extent does that carry through? To what extent does suddenly that fifth year suddenly mean something more to Kevin? Like, there's no question. Yeah. I think you've said it as well. Like, he's expected to get the max one way or the other. So there's no debate with that. But does that extra year of guaranteed income means something to him.
He's a man with uncompromised value that has been slightly compromised. So what does that really do? 888-957-9570. We will be taking a call or two over the next couple of hours from Mark Spears and Mark Medina in for a little NBA offseason roundtable. And gentlemen, the NBA's offseason decided to drop a big trade on us before we even got the Toronto Raptors to the stage today. This weekend, the news broke that the Lakers swung the deal for Anthony Davis. Were you surprised that the Pelicans said yes? And then when you saw the draft compensation, were you then no longer surprised? Because that's how it worked for me. I was surprised they did business with what seemed to be an in-season mortal enemy. But then all of a sudden, you look at that compensation, that's a team that was empowered to make the best deal. That's the best deal they're going to find.
Well, Gail Benson has decided that I'm going to let my anger be my anger and let David Griffin do his job as a new, you know, vice president of basketball operations. Because if it was up to her, this trade wouldn't have happened. But I think that's something that Tom Benson did. Let people do their jobs. She walked away, let him do his job. I'm sure Pelicans fans are like, dang, if we would have just did this 3 months ago, we could have got Kuzma too. Now, that number four pick, keep an eye on it because I think it's going to get flipped before Thursday for something.
What's it worth?
I think it's worth a starter.
Okay.
It's worth a starter for sure. Because several teams are interested in getting a point guard.
And you think it's
Winston Garland's son.
Yep.
Remember him? Former Warrior.
The Garland kid.
His son is somebody that's a little coveted. They got
Darius
the point
Garland?
Guard from North Carolina.
Darius Garland.
Mm-hmm. Kobe White.
So I think that I like to trade. And I wrote about it today in Undefeated because New Orleans on Thursday, when they have their party and draft party with the Zion Harmonizers, which is a real band that's been around for 60 years, it's going to be there. The Zion Harmonizers.
It's legit.
Yeah. They could just move on and enter in the Zion era and move forward. And I like the pieces. We forget that, you know, Ingram averaged 28 second half of the season. And I think Zoe to Zion's going to be amazing. Jrue Holiday's still there. And Hart's a good player. They got a good team. So I like to trade a lot. And I expected it to happen before Thursday because of what's involved.
Yeah, I thought the trade was going to happen because David Griffin doesn't take the job if he doesn't have green light to do whatever he wants to do. He would have just said, I don't need this job if you're going to tell me what I can and cannot do with the basketball team. So once they got him, I thought it was clear that Davis was going to get moved, barring something that was basically insurmountable. Like if Griffin had to have Kuzma and the Lakers refused to put him in there. I mean, truthfully, I mean, if I'm talking about him in a room with Rob Pelinka, I'm thinking David Griffin's going to get more of what he wants than Pelinka gets of what he wants. And I think that's the thing to remember here is the Lakers are still a hot mess above the LeBron James level.
But we do know that the Lakers added a generational level talent. We'll come back and look at this trade from their side of it when we come on back. A ton on the Golden State Warriors and an incredibly interesting offseason that lies before them. We certainly have the right guests in studio to talk about this. Mark Spears, Mark Medina, along with Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky. Don't you go anywhere. We're coming back with a little Warriors roundtable here on the Damon Bruce Show right now. Matt Kolsky with an update that'll just tell you that we're doing this for the next 2 hours. Have fun with that, Matt.
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. It is good to have you here on the Damon Bruce Show, which we have turned into the Warriors offseason roundtable till 6 o'clock tonight. Along with Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky, we've got Mark Spears, Mark Medina in with us. We're talking Warriors. We're talking NBA. We're going to be taking some of your calls as well. 888-957-9570. The sound and fury of the NBA's offseason began with the trade the Lakers consummated. Anthony Davis is in Los Angeles and will be playing with LeBron James. We were just talking about this from the New Orleans side. We like the unknown of what New Orleans is about to get, and we'll see how they end up building a nucleus around Zion. There is now quite an interesting nucleus in Los Angeles. LeBron and Anthony Davis, that is as top heavy as any team is through two roster spots, without a doubt. What do you think? Not exactly the shooter, but man, if LeBron James and Anthony Davis turn and look at each other and say, I'm going to race you to Defensive Player of the Year, woo, all of a sudden that team gets nasty.
Well, if this was the big three, they'd be great right now.
Mm-hmm.
They need a lot more, especially with the way LeBron and Anthony Davis's bodies are. Like, I guess Anthony, we can't tell how many games he would have played.
It's been a few years since he was really hurt.
Right. No serious injuries. Super serious.
He always misses about 15 games, 20 games, you know, so.
But isn't everybody about to miss 15, 20 games looking at Toronto's workload?
Load management.
Oh, boy.
But the question is, do you use that remaining money to go get Kemba or somebody big? And, you know, Medina was in Lakerland. Or do you use it to get a variety of guys?
Knowing how the Lakers are,
they're going to go big.
Star powers.
And I remember, I don't think this is going to happen, but there is always a cautionary tale, the worst case scenario. 2012-13 season, they get Dwight Howard and Steve Nash. In the second game of the season, Steve Nash breaks his leg, and then it's a spiral of all these different hamstring and back issues. Dwight was never the same, and then all the different all-stars, the Kobe Bryant and Pau Gasol and Dwight and Steve, they never fully function together. So there is a possibility this might not work, but it was still a move the Lakers had to make because of LeBron's window and that pressure of wanting to win with him.
Well, what about this? If you have those two guys already
and Kuzma,
and let's say maybe you make a play for Kemba and Jimmy Butler, but those guys go to New York or back to Charlotte and back to Philly. Now maybe you're stuck adding two or three guys who are quality role players in theory, and maybe that ends up being the better option after all.
Yeah, but you know they're going to go for
the big names.
Like what? I think Kemba's high on their list, but do you want Kyrie? I don't know if they do. I guess
does Kyrie want
the story
them?
Today that they were going to go after Kawhi? Was it going to be like an all forward lineup that they're going to try? Like
it's three good forwards.
I think they've been talking about Chris Paul as well.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, he's making what $35 million or something like that.
Well, but the Lakers have cap space, so they wouldn't have to match salaries, right?
Oh, I'm sure Houston would certainly love to.
If the Lakers want
to, the NBA won't nix that one.
Isaac Bonga for Chris Paul. Do we think we can make that work?
Yeah. No, he's. Everything I'm hearing is those two guys. That Houston thing is bad right now, man.
So this isn't just a clickbait article? Like,
no.
It's going down in Houston?
It's not good over there, man.
So you're telling me the Warriors' offseason isn't that bad after all? Break up the Rockets, huh? Well, the Warriors are already broken up.
Yeah. I think those two guys didn't like each other beforehand.
Does anybody like Chris Paul, though?
I do.
Besides anyone who plays in the
NBA? Work with him?
I think it's the egos of two guys.
Yeah.
You know, James ain't the easiest guy to be around. Chris ain't the easiest guy to be around. You know, and they're
both want
the two alpha dogs punching each other, think that they need the ball to be successful. I don't know that the shoot every 2 seconds way is the right way for them to win. I think I might agree with Chris Paul in that, in the way I think Heath wants to do it, but they got to figure out a way to break them guys up.
Well, I don't want to get down the Houston rabbit hole as much as I'm interested in trying to figure out who made the trade from the Lakers' end. Did they just leave this to Rob Pelinka? Is he now the actual general manager? Or was this sort of a...
Linda Rambis?
I think Linda Rambis is the one who just makes sure that Jeannie Buss doesn't just start firing people en masse. I'm wondering if the Lakers are still around. I'm wondering if they're run by a committee still.
But how hard was that trade for the Lakers to do?
The fact is, they at least had to argue about Kuzma being in it. Somebody had to be in the
Nicholson
room.
Nicholson could have made that trade for him.
Was Jack in the room?
And he actually might be more qualified than a lot of other people.
He would not have given up more.
This goes to a different argument, though, which is who's running the Lakers? I mean, it's not Jeannie. She's not in the room making trades. But everybody else from LeBron, Rich Paul, Pelinka, Rambis, you know, the shadow of Phil Jackson. I mean, to me, if we're kind of talk about what the Lakers do next, kind of knowing who's making that call is sort of what I'm thinking.
I mean, the feeling that I'm getting is when it comes to that trade specifically, it was Rob who did it, and LeBron certainly shared his influence, but where kind of all those chefs in the kitchen with Jeannie Buss and Linda Rambis and Kurt Rambis, they were involved with the coaching search, and we saw how that went, right? I mean, Tyronn Lue and Monty Williams were considered the favorites, and that became a point of contention because they didn't want to give a 5-year deal, which is now customary for coaches, and then they're trying to violate another principle within the coaching realms of saying, hey, you need to pick X, X, and X to fill out your staff, and then all of a sudden they wound up with Frank Vogel.
Quick call before we bring it back to the Warriors. Rich in Fremont, you're on the NBA Roundtable. Rich, what is your question?
Hey, Damon, man, thanks for getting me on. Ray, what's up? Hey, Mark, what's happening? And that funky cold Medina. How you doing today?
What's happening?
Love it.
Hey, listen, Yeah. Hey, listen, my question is to Mark Spears. Mr. Spears, let me ask you this. Because Kevin Durant has another injury, is this a sign that he may be on the decline physically, seeing that this is the second year in a row that he has been injured?
I'm not going to go that far. He just barely turned 30, right?
So. Right.
Yep.
Right. LeBron's groin pull is more of a sign of age injury than I think anything that happened to KD.
Yeah, no, I mean, KD is getting older. He's not old. I understand the question, but I'm not going to jump in that boat just yet.
Steve Kerr.
This is the real NBA, by the way. What I've been dealing with the last 4 years is not the real NBA, where you have almost nothing but success and amazing players and talent and incredible atmosphere and vibe. And what we've been doing the last 4 years and the group that we've had has been an absolute dream. This is more reality where, you know, you just run into stuff that happens.
Welcome to the real NBA Golden State Warriors.
No, this is worse than that.
It really is.
This is a Jordan Peele movie. Like, talking to Cousins after game 6, he said, I just felt like I was in a horror movie and I just wanted to be alive at the end. Sean Livingston said we were dying out there. I asked Cousins about what it would have been like to play game 7 if Steph would have hit that shot, and all he said was, oh, my God.
Do you think that they're happy they didn't have to go to Toronto? One more puncher's chance, or do they know what's what?
I'm sure they would have, but it would have been like the Revolutionary War, all kind of bandages and bleeding and stuff like that. That wouldn't have been pretty.
Red badge of courage.
Yeah, they weren't going to surrender, but they knew they were going to certain death. I mean, I cannot envision that team going into Toronto, playing the way Toronto had been playing, and coming within 15.
And especially when you look at Andre fired every bullet in his gun in that game 6, man. To get, 22 out of Andre Iguodala in that high leverage, like, it would have been ugly in game 6.
Well, and honestly, I mean, going on the road to slow down Toronto with no Klay Thompson, you just saw what no Klay Thompson did in that 3-point barrage where Toronto went off. Draymond talked about the prospects of losing Klay, what that meant.
Without Klay, it's tough. You know, it takes some shooting off the floor, so spacing is not quite there. Obviously, one of our best defenders, and probably the guy that got the most heart on his team. It's not really the most popular opinion, but, as a guy who's been with Klay for 7 years, I don't know many people with as much heart as Klay. So, the way he was playing, as aggressive as he was carrying us. And, when he went down, obviously, we lose a lot.
I mean, he seriously would have played on a torn ACL had Steve gone with a 2-3 zone out there. Klay was like, I just need a couple minutes and I'll be doing this. The guy is unbelievable. I mean, it really is. I don't want to wax very romantically about injuries, because we saw what happens when you do romanticize playing with injuries. It was worst case scenario for Durant. But that is the closest I think any of us will ever get to an actual Willis Reed moment in our careers covering this league. That was an extraordinary moment where I got to tell you, I don't know what vivid detail I remember from any of the championship runs as vividly as I'm going to remember that moment.
Yeah, now I was in the finals. Like, Mark might have been there when Kobe had the torn ACL Kobe had the torn shoulder and shot a free throw in New Orleans. Remember that?
Yeah.
But that was regular season stuff. This was final stuff. And if they would have won that game, if Steph would have somehow landed that shot, if that play at the end would have just been a little bit crisper, if Iguodala could have gotten a better pass,
pulled it all to the sideline.
It was a really weird play, but if that play would have worked out and he hit it, regardless to what would have happened in Game 7, that Klay move would have probably even been more pronounced.
Yeah, and you also have to remember, it was the final game at Oracle Arena, so it was already really amped up to begin with, and as soon as he took that fall, everyone understandably and rightfully were groaning. They were very, worried about what was going on with Klay. And so when he came out of the locker room, it felt like this tidal wave of excitement. And no one really knew what was going on, of how severe this injury is. Does this mean Klay is coming back on the floor for good? I was just very confused what was going on. But at least being able to process, He's hitting two foul shots. That is going to stick with me for the rest of my career for sure.
And yet when he went back in.
He ran back, too.
What?
He ran back.
But I got a feeling that there was a little bit of letdown. Like, uh-oh, it's more than this. It's not just he was able to shake this off. It's he's got to go back in. And the longer it took, you could just feel the air getting sucked out of the room more and more. I mean, the thing about the Willis-Reed game was he stayed in the game, played 27 minutes after he hit those first two shots.
But he didn't score but 2 points.
I know, but he was there.
Yeah.
And so people could sort of invest their hopes in him while the rest of the Knicks were kicking the hell out of the Lakers.
Yeah.
But once he left the second time.
And you were there. I don't think I was born yet.
Mm. Yeah, thanks. Well, I'll tell you what, Dad.
Old Man River.
As Willis ran out.
Go ahead. What'd you guys say? Two, finish this up.
No, I want to be the one guy who didn't call you Willis.
No, I just want to observe. I have respect for you. Right?
Tell me
but
more.
I want to be entertained.
No, I felt like when he went back in, the room died.
Yeah.
And when he kept and he didn't come back out, and people just went, And then when Doris Burke spilled the beans, that was that.
888-957-9570. Steven San Pablo, what do you got, Steven?
Hey, Damon, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. What do you got? Your question for the roundtable.
Okay, for KD now, so I don't think it makes sense to sign him like a 4 or 5 year contract. I know, but we need to give him more than 1 year for sure to get our money worth. How many years do you think is a fair contract?
Steven, there's only one fair contract for the Golden State Warriors to offer Kevin Durant, and that would be a 5-year supermax. Anything else would be a waste of breath.
Whoa. Yeah, just to clarify, because people keep nitpicking this, it's not technically a supermax. It's the home team max. The supermax is for guys who don't change teams. But yes, the most you can possibly offer him over the longest period of time is what they will offer him.
Yeah, they will just get one less year of service out of it.
And if you don't do it, somebody else is going to give it to him.
Yeah.
You have no choice if you want to keep him.
Yeah.
Same with Clay.
It's the most amount of damaged goods, which never affected a player's value ever. I mean, really, Kevin Durant is one of the few players in the history of this league where you would sacrifice a year to catastrophic recovery because he is that good. And if he came back at 80% of who he used to be, he is a perennial all-star still.
Yeah. I mean, so here's the thing with Kevin. He is in that gray area where he's in the young 30s, but he's not in his 20s. But the thing that keeps Kevin going is, A, he's Kevin Durant, but B, the way he scores and his style of play, it's going to age very gracefully. I mean, he can, even later down the line, I think, lean on his height advantage, that fallback mid-range jumper, the three. Those are things that I think will age well with him.
How old was Dirk?
That's exactly the guy I've been bringing up. 40-year-old
knee in your chest, fade away forever?
Not even. 35-year-old Dirk. And I expect Kevin Durant to be significantly better than 35-year-old Dirk. But that guy was 22 points a game, 50% from the field, 40 from three-point range. Like,
he had a struggle this season. It was time.
But he's 40 now. Durant's not going to come back at 31 looking like 40-year-old Dirk.
Yeah, no. And Durant's a smaller guy, lighter.
Was always quicker and
skilled.
Yeah.
So he could get by without being like, I remember covering the Nuggets. And do you guys remember how great an athlete Antonio McDyess was?
Oh, hell yeah.
And then the knees.
I mean, it's like Superman.
Yeah.
And one of the greatest athletes I've ever saw. And George McLeod went up to him one day and he's like, man, I wonder what kind of player you're going to be when you lose your athleticism. And that struck a chord with him. And he ended up getting that mid-range jumper, which ended up being a three-point jumper. Like, Kevin got all that.
Right.
He got all the tricks. He could dribble. He could make it his own shot. He doesn't have to go. Like, those two shots he made in Toronto, one, like, he dribbled by anybody. He just jumped straight up and shot.
Yeah.
Now, I the only wild card in all of this is what you lose after an Achilles. And there's no way of knowing what he will lose. He'll still be a great player, but will he be an incandescent player? And to me, that's the other jump.
What's that word?
Incandescent.
We're not going to do this.
But this is where
I mean, I like to learn.
Like somebody who literally glows in the dark.
Okay, I want to learn sometimes.
Yeah. Okay,
but This to
I
me,
no, I'm serious. I hadn't heard that word. I was curious.
No, is where the NBA's max contract system pays off for the Warriors or whoever signs Kevin Durant. Is he's actually worth twice what a max contract is. If we're talking real dollars in terms of what he brings you, his value has probably been reduced to somewhere in between the max contract and his actual original value, but it's still a no-brainer to give the NBA max to that guy.
And if the product is bad, at least it got the arena to distract him for a couple of weeks.
Let me pivot to this question.
Check out our suites.
Let me pivot to this question. The Golden State Warriors last year, I think, were evaluated by a lot of older players with like one more value year to give the NBA is, yeah, I could ring chase, but I'd rather get 25 minutes somewhere else instead of 12 minutes over here. The Golden State Warriors now have 25-minute increments to offer a lot of guys in a weird way, even though they're no longer pure top-shelf competitive liquor. Might they have more people interested in drinking in this bar?
Well, they could. The problem is they don't have enough money to really spend. I mean, they only have that mid-level exception. That's,
their hands are tied financially.
And say Kevin comes back, if they're able to determine with the NBA, and this is coming from medical people, that he's going to be out for the entire year, they'll get the equivalent of what a non-taxpayer mid-level exception, which would be around $9.5 million.
So let's clarify that, because this was a question we had last segment, actually. Yeah. Is that, even if they sign him to a new deal, knowing he has the Achilles, they could still get the disabled player exception?
They could, but where the gray area is they have to show the league that he is definitely going to be out until June 15th. And
if they show that, do they then have to live up to that showing? What if he does rehab quickly?
And exactly. And it's not even, they can't even get approval by just declaring, oh, well, we've ruled Kevin out for the season. They have to get medical.
You apply for it.
They have to get medical insight from doctors saying, yeah, he is not going to be good to go until after June 15th.
And who are the doctors that do this? Because they're obviously not going to be. Does the NBA have its own set of doctors?
You apply for the disabled player exception?
You apply
send their doctors.
Obviously, whichever team signs him, that training staff would work in conjunction, but there's always outside medical people that don't have any attachment to the team for things like this that removes any conflict of interest.
You know, we've heard an awful lot about players trying to point at this and say the Warriors aired on this or Team Durant aired on this, and a lot of players. Have you guys talked to anyone in the medical community who thinks the Warriors made a mistake on this? Because, look, Steve and Bob, you know, did everything they could to say, we have full confidence in our doctors. We have full confidence in our evaluation process. And we're not backing off of that for a minute. Like, the Warriors did circle the wagons around their medical team in a way that you could tell was a little bit to defy some of the criticisms that were being shipped towards them. You guys talk to a lot of medical experts. Anyone think that anything odd happened here?
No, Stephen A. brought up the
fact. He's not a doctor.
He's not a doctor.
Okay.
But he has spoken to some medical people.
Okay.
He found the ice on Kevin's calf, or, you know, after it was warmed up and he came out, to be something that might have caused something. He thought that, you know, he mentioned one thing I was curious about, should there have been a bike, I guess, for him to get warm back up. But as you kind of alluded to, man, like, we could speculate forever. We could be Monday morning quarterbacks forever, but only the people on the inside truly know who's to blame.
Yeah,
but at some point, isn't that going to reveal itself one way or the other?
Yeah, it'll get out.
I'm curious to see what he'll say.
Yeah, and I did talk to some doctors. Obviously, the disclaimers are not working with Kevin and the Warriors, but they were very skeptical that the Warriors would be rushing, or any NBA team would rush someone back. Like, as Steve Kerr had outlined, there was so much collaboration breaking down from the Warriors training staff, coaching staff, front office, Kevin himself, Rich Kleiman.
And he has his own
medical
doctor.
People. But I think I've talked to some people around the NBA who aren't doctors, but they're just kind of analyzing the game. And they were struck that, you know, Steve before the game was saying that, you know, he's going to be playing in limited bursts. And I think that there was some confusion that he had played, you know, a lot of minutes right off the jump not to say that that's what caused the injury, but there's definitely people around the league that are questioning that aspect.
And I'd like to think that for somebody as important as Kevin Durant, it wasn't just like the Warriors said, you're good, go.
Right.
I'm sure he had his people involved. I don't know this for a fact, but I just think somebody who's about to make $250 million has somebody from his side sign off on it, too.
That's been reported, that he had his own doctors in the room in those conversations, which is why this idea that there's malfeasance is crazy to me, not to mention... Even the ice thing, are we 100% sure it was ice and not like a heating wrap of some kind? Like, I can't imagine the Warriors didn't ask these questions. What are we going to do when he's on the bench? Is he going to ride the bike? Ice or heat? What are the right answers? And a group of professional medical people decided to do it away, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
And everything since then to me seems just like people reacting to the result and not the process.
Well, let me ask one other question, and maybe you have the answer, maybe you don't. When the surgery was done, have any of the medical experts you guys have consulted said that you could tell from the surgery if it was related to the earlier calf injury, or can they rule that out completely? Because if you can rule that out completely, then all the other debates about where the ice was and why he wasn't on a bike suddenly become unimportant, don't they?
Yeah. Now, I can't say that I've talked to anyone that knows for sure because they didn't work with them directly. But my experience also covering Kobe's Achilles injury, I know in the medical field there's always a thought that because of the nature of Achilles injuries, if you rush back from that injury too soon, there's a kinetic chain that leads to other injuries. But at the same time, with Achilles injuries, a lot of times it's non-contact. A lot of times it happens to your, you know, weekend warrior YMCA guy who's fully healthy and he just falls. So it's a lot of weird on
KD's was non-contact.
Yeah.
It really was. 888-957-9570. If you're on hold, stay there. We're going to come and take more of your calls as we move into our 5 o'clock hour in about 20 minutes with an extended roundtable. We got Mark Spears and Mark Medina in with us. And let's face it, the brass tacks of this whole thing, the $100,000 question is, did that injury to Kevin Durant improve or hurt his odds of remaining a Warrior? We're coming back for everyone's answer next, courtesy of Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky here on the Damon Bruce Show. We've got Mark Spears and Mark Medina for our Warriors offseason roundtable. The offseason for everyone officially began when the Warriors were eliminated, punctuated today with Toronto's parade, which, by the way, got to the stage about 5.5 hours late. Gridlock is something the Warriors were very good at preventing. They had a lot of parade planning experience.
Nobody got shot.
You could see the novice. Well, not always.
Not that we know of.
Yeah, not always. Not last year. But look, I mean, I could
see nobody died that had injuries like they had in Toronto today.
Well, let's not make fun or light of
that. I'm not. Right. I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. The whole point is that was an incredible parade today in a scene, and obviously they're going to be, you know, drunk and have headaches for a very, very long time. Kawhi Leonard is officially now sitting in a situation that no player's ever sat in ever in the history of the NBA. The player that led you to the championship has never voluntarily gone to another team in the prime of their career. The only time an NBA Finals MVP ever left a team was due to retirement. And here
like
we are.
Jordan, right?
And here we are. Here we are. Do you think Toronto did enough to keep Kawhi? And we're about to get back to KD in just a moment.
Well, it's not just Toronto. It's the country.
Right.
The whole country loves him. Like, he could make money in Vancouver. He could make money in Montreal.
He could Canada declare prima nocta, like, and you'd have guys lining their wives up.
It's one thing to be the man in L.A. or the Bay or New York or whatever. He's the man of a country.
They're Does he
talking
care?
About right. Well, that's the thing. I mean, free condos, free like there was some story that said that someone's willing to pay him half of his salary that he will get if he stays. Maybe today is where his finally, like, he felt at home.
Right. I'm walking away from this?
Yeah. Like, this is where, like, that had to be pretty special. I mean, look, when he was in San Antonio and the Alamo Parade and the River Parade or whatever they do, that's nice. Was there 2 million people out there today?
It was a party.
Well, after you reduce the cops' estimate, which are usually about 40%, probably about 1.2 million.
Well, and then you got to convert it into metric system, which really screws it up.
So, it's back 119 up to 2 million? People were at the parade.
But that being said, with him, I have no idea, man. You don't know what he's thinking, what makes him go. It's cold out there in the wintertime. I know he don't like that. He's from L.A. But, God, that would be certainly damaging to Toronto if he left.
And just think about who he's won over, because the Raptors made the move for obvious reasons. He's Kawhi Leonard, but they gave up a fan favorite in DeMar DeRozan, and Kyle Lowry wasn't on board initially with that. The fan base was a little bit upset with that, and he was able to
gamble.
He was able to championship. Yeah, he was able to mollify that a little bit. And I think even though you're not going to see the biggest personality out there, it's almost like he's become what Clay is here, where they see kind of the lack of interest in trying to promote himself as this endearing quality. And the Raptors fans are just eating it up, and it helps that they won.
Well, but in fairness, I mean, Clay has trotted the dog out plenty. So it's not like he's averse to publicity in the way that Leonard is. I mean, Leonard is an extreme. I mean, he would, if he could wear a jersey that didn't have his name on the back and he could play in a ski mask, he'd probably do that.
Are we sure about that, though? Because I think we've heard a lot of semi-conflicting stuff about where his mind's at over the last couple of years.
He has nice braids, so I don't know if you want to wear a ski mask, because it looks like it takes a lot of time and effort to look like Leroy from Fame.
My wife spent a lot of time talking about how good his edging was during this NBA Finals. That the edges Kawhi was rocking were truly exceptional. Look, so I do know
this
that.
Is basically the argument. His hair's nice, so he'll stay.
Look, hair is an issue,
that he would have put a hoodie over his head because
he wants to show it off.
Well,
but I do think we've seen he reportedly was upset that he wasn't getting enough marketing opportunities with the Spurs, right? I mean,
about to.
That's the thing.
Did
so,
I do it right?
Oh, I'm not.
A boot.
We developed a very specific picture of who Kawhi was based on his time in San Antonio and the fact that he doesn't seem to like to talk to anybody. But I'm not. I think the reality
is. Personality today, too.
A little bit with the laugh.
Never has a guy in New Balance done so much.
Enjoy this moment and have fun with it. Aha, ha, ha, ha.
And the shirt. I just love the New Balance Board Man Gets Paid shirt, just written in like Times New Roman, very simply.
Right. Black shirt, white letters, no.
Yeah. He's letting his braids down.
And I've never.
I had one of the. I always remember like the longest conversation I had with him was like 2 minutes. And when we got to the 2 minute mark, and I thought it was a pleasant conversation. You know, trying to small talk with him. He just walked away. It was over. I didn't know it was over, but it was over.
It was that. It was probably something
he never
thought about
twice. And no one
walks
away from Mark Spears.
Right.
No, that's not true. a lot of people walked away from me. But it was like, I think our conversation has ended. He just left.
Let's continue our Warriors conversation with the biggest question facing this team's offseason. It is simply this. Did the Durant injury improve or hurt the odds of him remaining a Warrior? I know you can't answer this in any way that is conclusive because we don't know what's swimming around between Kevin Durant's ears, but which way does your gut lead you, Mark Medina?
My gut leads me as that whatever decision he was thinking of making before this happened is the decision he's going to make. I think he's going to leave. I think it doesn't have to do with him wanting to be the man on another team. If he wanted to do that, he would have stayed in OKC and would have tried to win that turf battle with Russell Westbrook. I think what he wants to show is that he's really good enough because he's Kevin Durant that he can win a championship on another team without the Golden State infrastructure.
I think before he got hurt, I thought he was probably heading to New York. Perhaps he still will. But now I think through his injuries, through watching in Houston, through watching the team fight with him, maybe perhaps he's starting, you know.
It's to contemplate a little NBA mortality.
Like, yeah.
What they say, the evil you – this ain't no evil. The evil you know, this like the beauty you know versus where you're going to go. Like these are – it's not a jerk of a locker room. I know he had his incident with Draymond, but I think that was way more overblown than it probably needed to be.
When it felt like things were really starting to fit him, too. Just when the playoffs were beginning and he was going off against the Clippers, it just felt like he was finally finding his feet underneath him, his own way with this team. He felt like a part of a collective, not the guy who was never really on the outside looking in. And it felt like he was finally getting his due respect by the nation's media. And then the calf turns into the Achilles.
I mean, he's an icon here now.
Oh, we used to laugh. What about his statue? Oh, he gets one now.
Yeah.
He gets one now. The question is, do you want to go down as a god right here and forever?
Yeah. Like, how do you think the Miami Heat revere LeBron? You know what I mean? I think it's kind of the same if he were to leave. Like, do you see LeBron getting his jersey retired in Miami? I guess when he makes the Hall of Fame, perhaps.
100%. They retired Jordan's jersey, never even played for him.
Yeah, but he... If he would have stayed a little bit longer, I think the statue – I don't think the statue comes for LeBron in Miami.
Not in Miami.
I like that comparison, though, because in a lot of ways it's similar. They not quite as close together, but the same Heat fans rooting for that Heatles team watched Wade win with Shaq already. So it was kind of like, yeah, new guy's nice, and he helped us win a couple more, but he's never going to be our guy. Like,
no, their guy is Wade.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And so I think that...
Like your guy's Udonis Haslam. Are you kidding? Yeah.
Well, they love UD. But I do think that KD maybe crossed into something more, even without re-signing, just by virtue of this whole Achilles drama.
Yeah.
I think there's something else in play here, is that Kawhi's likely to leave because Toronto wasn't his choice. It was somebody else's choice. Durant came here as his own choice. And while I don't want to put too much stock in it, there's something to the idea that I saw something here that I liked. Nobody told me to go here. And I think that's different than you got traded there and you didn't have any say.
Like, does he FaceTime Clay if he wants out?
Maybe he's just
He might view players as independent from teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of guys in the league view players completely independent of the jerseys that they wear.
Yeah, and for example, when Kobe tore his Achilles, Dwight Howard was one of the first to go to his house and wish him well. And I remember at
the
time...
Did he open the door?
He rang the wrong doorbell.
Did he call him soft as soon as he got there?
This was so notable, not only because there was all this tension before, but as close as Derek Fisher was with Kobe Bryant, he had been on record saying, I've never been to Kobe's house. So we thought at the time, man, this is a sign that this is something good. And then all of a sudden, when they had that pitch meeting, it turned into more contentiousness. So long story short, who knows?
Robin in San Francisco. Robin, what's your question for today's roundtable?
Here's my question. This is all I want to lead into, Damon. My dad wants me to do this. The best man, he wanted me to let you guys know that the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. So having said that, I think that the Warriors should regroup. This is a question. Regroup and... since they don't have much money, do you think it's best that they just start developing players? That's something, because they don't have money to go anywhere else, and maybe they don't make the playoffs, but start developing younger players, a younger roster. This might be an opportunity to do that, and I just wanted to ask you guys that.
Thanks. Really, again, the question, I'm still looking for it anywhere in there, but it's kind of this. The Warriors are stuck in between the players they no longer have, the talent they're not going to be able to draft, and the money that they don't have to spend. So what do they do to make sure that the first year of Chase isn't purgatory?
Well, just tell them about how good the food is going
to
be there.
Yeah, it's supposed to be locally sourced and delicious.
It's going
to
be amazing.
Beyond the nachos.
Well, you had the clam chowder, the sushi.
Fish tacos.
I mean, you got the bunker suites, right? That's going to be cool.
No, it's bad. It is purgatory.
Like going up to Sacramento, and I know this is not what you want to hear, Damon. It was weird because people there, there's still a lot of people that haven't been there yet. So until like late in the third quarter, nobody's watching the game. They're all like enjoying the arena. And I think that's going to be maybe a good distraction for the first three quarters of the season. But if these guys, if Clay could come back late, the challenge is trying to be competitive enough to stay in the playoff race, which is tough in the West. And to answer the lady's question, they need to maybe continue to strengthen their scouting department like San Antonio did, because you're never going to, when you're the Warriors, you're not going to get great picks. But what if you draft a Tony Parker? What if you draft a Ginobili?
International.
You know, the same way they did with Draymond. And, you know, you could say what you want about Festus, but until he got hurt, he was a good pickup. Like
Looney.
But there's no way they could go the youth movement because they draft too well.
Let's do this to wrap up this hour, and don't you go anywhere, because another hour of Warriors Roundtable is about to begin almost immediately. 2020 NBA win totals are already up, gentlemen. The Golden State Warriors open at 47.5. One-word answer from everyone. Over, under. Ray, 47.5. Over, under. Mark, Spears.
Under.
Medina.
Under.
Kolsky.
What are the odds on a push?
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.